me to the book of Mark, Mark chapter 7. I have a few things I'm going to announce while you are turning there. I want to remind you that this Sunday is we're going to be having the Lord's Supper. And then next week, which is Christmas week, there will be no Wednesday night service that week, no midweek service next week. I know a lot of folks will be traveling and so forth. And then on Christmas morning, of course, we'll be having church at 10 a.m. Liberty Kids won't meet, but we'll still be having church on that day. I can't imagine canceling church when the whole reason that we have church is, and a part of the church is because Christ was born. So that'll be 10 a.m. on Christmas morning. No Liberty Kids. It'll be an abbreviated service, a shorter service. And then the following Wednesday after Christmas, December 28th, going to have a sweet and salty Christmas social. So it says bring something sweet or salty. There's a sign-up sheet in the foyer. And it says also bring a gift card for a game we will be playing. It's going to be in the fellowship hall at 6:30. There'll be no Awana that night, so kids are certainly welcome. You'll find all these announcements on Facebook or in our bulletins and in our announcement loop. But just keep these things in mind in the coming days ahead. All right, so let's look at Mark chapter 7 tonight. We are looking at beginning in verse number 31, just another miracle of our Lord. The next miracle, I don't know what number we're on, but it is the next miracle of our Lord. But I want you to think about something tonight, just a simple little thought, and this is probably more of a devotional tonight, but I want you to think about little things, just little things, because that's what we see here in this text. In verse 31, the Bible says this, "And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came into the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. And he looked up to heaven, and he sighed, and he said unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And straightway his eyes were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man, but the more he charged them, so much more a great deal they published it. And were beyond measure astonished, saying, He hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak." So let's look at this text, a few things as we look at this tonight. We see what the purpose of this miracle is. So there's a few things I want you to notice where our Lord went. Basically, that area of Decapolis, it was all the east side of the Sea of Galilee. Now, let me remind you of something, that the last time our Lord was on the east side of Galilee, he cast out a demon from a man, and the people of Gadarenes, which is that east side, they asked Jesus to leave and to not come back. So the last time he was there, he was asked to leave and to not come back. But now he comes back and these people welcome him. When he left the last time, all he left was one cleansed demonic. This man who had been set free from a legion of demons. His life had been radically changed by Jesus. And the Lord left him behind and continued on his ministry. So the last time the Lord was in this area, he was asked, "Don't you come back here anymore. We don't want you here." And he leaves behind one touched and anointed and cleansed demonic. Well, when our Lord comes back, they're now welcoming him. And so what we see in this text, as we see the move of our Lord, number one, the move of our Lord, we see that this demonic, he must have done what he was supposed to do. He had obviously spent some time telling about what Jesus had did for him. And he had spent some time passing that on to other people and telling that story and retelling that story and retelling that story until one by one by one he won people unto the Lord. And so when the Lord comes back to this area on the east side of Galilee, the people now welcome him instead of asking him to leave. So the demonic had done his job. And boy, if you and I would only do our jobs as a witness, as ambassadors of Christ, as good as this cleansed demonic did, then we would fill our church houses up Sunday after Sunday. And so we see that we see the move that the Lord make, but we also see this miracle. Now, let me tell you a little bit about this miracle. So if we look at the Greek text, which is a very strong, it's a very strong language. The adjectives, the verbs, they're very, very intense. And when we look at the Greek text of this word, we see of the scripture, we see that what Jesus did, remember, this man can't hear. Here's his problems. He can't hear. And because he can't hear anything, it's affecting his speech. Remember, people who are deaf, they have trouble learning to speak because they have trouble making hearing sounds. They can't hear sounds. And then in turn, they have trouble making the appropriate sounds. And so this man could not hear, and he could speak, but he had a terrible, according to the Greek text, a terrible speech impediment. When he spoke, you could barely understand him. His speech was so affected. And so what the Bible says Jesus did when the crowd brought this man to Jesus, this crowd, thank God, this crowd was moved with compassion toward this man who was deaf and who could not speak. And they were so moved with compassion, they were so touched by the infirmity of their fellow man that they did what they could do and they brought him to Jesus. And friends, I want to tell you something. The Church of Jesus Christ will never grow unless you and I become touched with compassion for our fellow man who is hurting or who is hopeless or who is in need or who is lost and never been saved. Until the church is moved with compassion, not just care about somebody and care about their condition, but move with compassion to help that individual and get them to Jesus, the church will not ever grow. But the crowd was moved with compassion. And so the Bible says this. The Bible says Jesus took this man, and it's really a very forceful action that we see here. We see that Jesus took his fingers, and according to the Greek text, he shoved his fingers into this man's ears. And then he spit, and then he touched the man's tongue. Now, I don't know how many people would be standing in line if they knew that ahead of time. But Jesus was very, very forceful in this situation. He took the man aside from the crowd, got him in private so he could heal the man, and then with force, he took control of this man's sickness. Man, when I was 5 years old, we lived in the area where I grew up in, an area called Balsam. Everybody in Silva, Jackson County, and in Balsam area, I don't know, there must have only been one pediatrician back then, 1975, one pediatrician in town. And his name was Dr. Daniels. And later on, not so many years later, sometime in the 80s, he was on a mission trip in Africa and actually got killed by an elephant over there. But Mom took me down there. I think I had double pneumonia to the pediatrician's office one day, and I can just vaguely remember, I was just about five, I guess, sitting on that table, and they said, just sit right here. We're going to send a nurse in to give you a shot. Well, apparently, they needed to give me a shot to get through the hormones I'm experiencing right now. It's making my voice change. So apparently, I had no recollection of ever having a shot. And so they said, we'll send a nurse in here in just a little while. So I thought, well, this will be nice and pleasant. My little five-year-old mind, we'll have a nurse come in, and she'll be real gentle and give me this shot, and I'll get better and all that stuff. Well, about a minute after the doctor left, he was a big, tall guy. He bust back in like he was on a mission. And it took me just a second to realize that his mission was me. And he had a syringe in his hand, and he flipped me upside down and slammed me down on that table. And, man, I come out of the gate trying to fight this thing because I didn't like the way this was going down, and I felt like we needed to bargain. And he wrestled me down, slammed me down, held me down, and boop, I got a shot of penicillin, and he was done, and he was out the door, and I'm laying there trying to figure out what just happened to me. And so he just took charge. I don't know where the nurse was. Apparently that day he was nurse and doctor. But in this text, we see Jesus moving with force like this. Literally, the text does not indicate at all that he put his fingers in the man's ears and then he spit and touched the man's tongue. But literally, with the Greek words, he forcefully grabs this man, shoves his fingers in his ears. Now, you've got to remember, the man can't hear what Jesus is saying, like these other miracles we've seen. And so the Lord's got to get his attention. And when the Lord gets his attention and shoves his fingers in his ear, the man must have known what was about to take place. And then the Lord spits, shoves his finger in his mouth. Dr. Chandler, try that some of your customers tomorrow. Spit on your finger and shove it in their mouth. See if they ever come back to the dentist's office. Well, our Lord did that. And one of the reasons he did that, and one of the reasons he took control is because of this. It's because he is in control. It's because he is in charge. And when we turn everything over to him, he is in command and control. And we see that in the life of our Lord. And we see that as a good shepherd who cares for his sheep. He leads me beside still waters. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. And he's with me and he doesn't forsake me. And so our Lord is sovereign. He's sovereign over our lives and he's sovereign over sickness and over disease. He is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. And so we see the Lord do this. But now let me say this about this miracle. So when we put this miracle alongside of other miracles, I want to size it up if I can. I know that when we have troubles, it's impossible for me to compare my trouble with your trouble because I'm not in your shoes. And what looking at you, what may seem small to me could be very huge in your life. Or you looking at me, seeing what you may think is a small trouble, it may be very huge in my life. You just don't know it because you're not in my shoes. And I don't know yours because I'm not in your shoes. But let's kind of compare the miracles here. And so when we see the Lord in these other prior miracles, we have seen blind men, completely blind. We have seen a woman with issue of blood. We have seen demonics, people who were demon-possessed, and the demons were throwing them down and causing them to cut themselves and throwing them into the fire. And we've seen such as that. We've seen storms so bad that seasoned fishermen on the Sea of Galilee feared for their lives. And we've seen the dead raised. And so these other miracles, if you will, they are, in my mind, and certainly by comparison, they are areas of great, great need. I mean, this man here, he could have got by in life not being able to hear and having some kind of speech impediment. He could have got by because he could see. He could work. He wasn't a leper who was bound to hang out with other lepers and forced to hang out with other lepers or forced to beg in their day. He wasn't blind where he couldn't work and he was forced to beg. And so this man indeed could have lived probably a very successful life, not being able to hear and having a speech impediment where he could not talk. But nevertheless, when a crowd who had compassion upon their fellow man brings that man with haste to Jesus as soon as they hear that Jesus is in the area, then our Lord takes that man aside and he works a miracle in his life. So this sickness, if you will, of deafness and not able to speak clearly. It's really a little thing when we compare it to the other miracles that's been dealt with thus far. But I want you to make note of this and write this down, because this is where we're going tonight, is that our Lord cares about little things in our lives. And in fact, there is value in little things, and our Lord sees that, and he knows that. He's interested not just in the big, not just in the cases of death, demon possession, or leprosy, but he's interested in the little things. Because really, in the life of God's child, if we belong to him and he's our God and we give ourselves to him, then we belong to him. And there are big things in our life, but he's interested in every little detail of our life. The girls, when they were little, I would take them and tuck them in the bed. And when I would take them and tuck them in the bed, I would pull those covers up, and I would tuck those covers and fold them real neatly up around their neck. And Elizabeth liked that to be just right. Even at just a little young age, I would take it and push it right up and kind of tuck the blankets down right around her neck and down around her shoulders, you know, cut the draft off, all that stuff. And Abigail, I would tuck hers in real neat the same way and all of that, and she would have to throw her arms out. She wouldn't keep them under. And then she had her yellow blankie that it had to be just in a certain fashion, right down next to her body so she could hold it in her hands and rub her chin with that little fleece yellow blankie. And so it's the little things in the life of God's children that God's interested about. Big things don't come up every day, thank goodness. Big things don't come up every week. Huge things in our life don't come up every week or every month. But almost every day there's little things going on in our lives. Sometimes it's the smallest of things. I remember one time I had lost not a safety pin, but just a needle, I guess you might say, in the floor. And it was very limited where it could be, but I couldn't find it. And I didn't want to step on it, have it in my foot, not know it was there, and, you know, develop a sore or whatever the case may be. And I said, Lord, you got to help me find this. Where is this thing at, Lord? And as soon as I said that with a prayerful attitude, I found it. I'd have never found it otherwise, I'm convinced. That may be some little thing to you, but I want you to know I'm glad God's interested in little things in our lives. It's almost, watch the mandate in this text here, and it's almost humorous of sorts because the Lord says, don't tell anybody about what I just did. And the Bible says they started to tell everybody. And in fact, the more the Lord said, hey, I said, don't tell anybody. And they got louder and louder and told more people. And he said, hey, I told you not to tell a word of this. Now be quiet. Keep it down. Because our Lord didn't want a miracle-looking crowd chasing after him, wanting only miracles. He was interested in disciples who would honor him as Lord and Savior. But he didn't want just a crowd looking for miracles. But the more he said, don't do it, hush, be quiet, the louder and louder and louder they got, and the more they told it. My goodness, what a lesson and what an example for you and I is that as the Lord does things in our life, even if it's little things. Somebody told me the other day, I said, how you been doing? They said, I'm doing good, I'm blessed. They said, the Lord let me get up this morning. Well, that's true. That may be a little thing to us, but it's something we ought to be thankful for and tell others about. So all the little things in our lives, if we could be more like this crowd, if we could just tell others about all that he has done. In fact, there's a summation in this text right here that sums up the entire ministry of our Lord. In verse 37, they say this, and they were beyond measure astonished. In fact, the Bible says this. Literally in this text, it means that phrase means this. That they were so overwhelmed, they didn't even know what to say about it. They were so overwhelmed and overblessed by the Lord touching their friend and healing him, they didn't even know what to do with themselves. But then the crowd makes this statement. They say this. He hath done all things well. He has done all things well. That sums up the ministry of our Lord from his birth through his present ministry seated at the Father's right hand. He has done all things well. It's interesting in the book of Revelation, that's going to be our song one day, is about how perfect and holy and how good our God is. And so when we look at this miracle tonight, I want you to know we look at it and we see the value of little things in the eyes of God. He cares. He's moved with compassion, even over the smallest details of our lives. So if you got something little come up and something small come up, why don't you pray about it first? Why don't you give it to God first? Why don't you ask the Lord to touch the little things that's in your life? And watch what God does, not just as an almighty God working miracles in the big things, but as a compassionate, loving Savior who's so in control that He'll take the seemingly little things and do His work inside of those. You may stand tonight and tell somebody you love them. Tell somebody you're praying for them tonight. And we will see you on Sunday morning. God bless you.